Lyons said this, "A father is someone who carries pictures where his money used to be." I know how that is. I was with Anna yesterday at a store. Lord Rochester said this about fathering. "Before I got married, I had 6 theories about bringing up children. Now I have 6 children and no theories." And then the late, great Paul Harvey, whom I'm sure many miss, said this, "Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so they can have grandchildren that are smarter than anybody's." Fathering. We want to look this morning at being a prosperous and successful dad. I'm reminded not only by the song that Chris just sang about how my heart, and I'm sure many fathers' hearts are that we want to be more like the Lord. We want to be more like the ultimate Father, the perfect Father, our Heavenly Father, the perfect example of a Father, that we want to be more like that because our kids follow in our steps. They emulate what we do, bad or good, many times. And I'm reminded of something I read that Max Lucado wrote a while back. He had been visiting in Jerusalem and he was exiting the Jaffa Gate, and he was behind an Orthodox Jewish family, a father and his 3 small girls. And one of the little girls fell a few steps behind and she started saying, "Abba, Abba." Well, he turned and he reached back and he took her hand in his hand as they crossed a busy intersection and he swung her up into his arms. And you know, your Father, your Heavenly Father, tells you the exact same thing. He says more than once in His Word that you are to call Him Abba. He wants that kind of close, intimate relationship with you. The kind of relationship that a small child has with a loving daddy. And that word Abba, when you bring it into the English, it's just the intimate address for a father. It's what a small child would commonly call their dad. Around our house, it was daddy, and it still is sometimes, daddy. I don't know what it was in your house. Sometimes it's papa. Or pops, sir. But God says that's the kind of relationship He wants with you. He's your ultimate Heavenly Father, and He's the one in the busy intersections of life that He just reaches down and grabs your hand, and when you cry out to Him, "Abba, Abba, Daddy, Daddy, Papa," and brings you up into His arms and just holds you and keeps you where it's safe. Well, I want to be like that. And I know you do as a dad. But this message this morning is not just for dads. Don't tune me out because the title is The Prosperous and Successful Dad. But you take off dad if you're not a dad and you leave a blank there and you fill in whatever your role is, because this is God's transforming truth that applies to any of our lives. We're just going to take a few commands, a few things that I noticed that He tells us in Joshua chapter 1. You can go ahead and turn there. Joshua chapter 1, we're just going to take a few truths, and they can be applied to anyone who's leading. So you fill in that blank with your role. Maybe it's mother, maybe it's co-worker, maybe it's friend, maybe it's grandmother, maybe it's boss. I don't know what it is, but you fill it in with any role that you partake in, and we all have many roles, but you fill it in. The prosperous and successful, you fill it in. But for us dads, let's look at that. The prosperous and successful dad. Well, let's look at 5 great commands here from Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, for fathers and anyone else. God's Word tells us this. Let me give you a little background. Moses has been leading God's people, the people of Israel, and they had been wandering in the desert for 40 years. And God had promised this land, this incredible land, the promised land, a land of abundance. And God was going to give that land to His people, the Israelites, but not in Moses' time. Once Moses passed away, God would appoint a new leader. And that's right where we are. Moses has passed away, and God has selected and chosen His next leader, Joshua, to lead His people, the people of Israel. And Joshua is a military commander. And God's chosen him. And now He's saying it's time to go in and take the land. And that's where we are. God is speaking to Joshua, appointing him and giving him what he needs. And in verses 6 through 9, hear it not only for Joshua, but hear it for yourself. God's Word is alive and active, and it's for you today. He tells us this: be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Well, the first command here we see from the Lord to you and to me is this: be daring. Be daring. I'm going to take the word daddy, that Abba Father daddy, D-A-D-D-Y, in an attempt to help you remember and take some of this with you. Be daring is the first D. And we see it in verse 6. Be strong and courageous. That's God's first command to you. Be daring. Be strong and courageous. We see it in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. But not only do we hear it that time. Did you notice we heard that same command three times in this passage? Did you hear it? Look back in there. Be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. God tells him in these few verses three times, be strong and courageous. Well, I don't know about you, but to me, repetition is what means importance. If I'm really trying to get a point across, I might say it more than once. If I'm really trying to get a point across to my children, I might say it three times. They might get sick of hearing it. But repetition means it's important. And three times God says, be strong and courageous. Be daring. In Ephesians 6, we're told how to be strong. Ephesians 6:10, God tells us this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And then God gets into each piece of the armor. God tells us through this passage that you're in a battle in this world, that there is a true enemy. And he's not red, and he doesn't have a pitchfork, and he doesn't have a pointy tail and horns. You can't identify him like that. He's alive and well, and he disguises himself as an angel of light. And God tells us just to watch out. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. And we live on a battlefield. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you're in a battle. You're on a battlefield, not a playground. And there are spiritual forces and Satan himself against you, doing anything that he can to steal from you, to steal relationships, to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's his mission. But God tells us what to do here. He says, be strong in the Lord. You can't defeat the enemy yourself. You can't live the Christian life yourself. You can't even do what God calls you to do yourself. That's why His Spirit indwells you. That's why if you're a believer and you've repented of your sins, you put your faith in Jesus, that's why God sent His Holy Spirit to live in you. Because you can't do it on your own. Your strength is the Lord. And we see here, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So when God commands us here in Joshua 1:6 to be daring, be strong and courageous, it's not saying muster up all your strength and be strong. It's saying in the Lord. It's saying look to Him. He's your strength. Depend on Him. Look to Him. Use His power. You just trust. Don't do it yourself. Be strong and courageous. You may be saying, you know, I don't feel equipped. You know, whatever it is that God's calling you to, I don't know what it is. But you may be saying, I just don't think I have what it takes. Yeah, I know God's will. I know what He wants. But I know myself. I can't do it. I don't think I can succeed there. Well, you know, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So whatever God calls you to do, to be a father, to be an incredible father, a reflection of the kind of father He is, or I don't know what He's calling you to do this morning, but whatever He calls you to do, whatever He's telling you to do, if He's calling you, He will equip you. That's just how He is. He gives you what you need. But it's His strength. It's His power. You just trust. You just depend. You just rely on Him. There's a great example of being strong and courageous, being daring in Peter. You remember when Peter was with some of the other disciples and they were in a boat and there was a storm on the sea and it was late at night and Jesus had sent them off and sent them to the other side. They were supposed to go to Capernaum and they had been out there just struggling against these wind and these waves for hours, just not making much progress. And then lo and behold, they see out on the water before them something that they think is a ghost. And they're terrified. They're afraid. But then Jesus says, "It is I. Don't be afraid." You remember what Peter said? "Lord, if it's You, tell me to come to You on the water." You see, he was being daring. He was being strong and courageous. And the Lord said to him, "Come." And I'm sure it took a lot of strength, a lot of courage, but it was all strength in the Lord. His eyes were fixed on Jesus. His focus was on the Lord. He knew if His Lord was out there walking on the water and could do all these miracles, surely His Lord could allow Him to walk out there on the water. And so He stepped out in strength and in courage, not in His own strength, in dependent on that one. Out there, in dependent in the Lord's strength. And He stepped out and He trusted. And as He trusted, He walked on water. He started heading toward Jesus. Because Jesus did it. Jesus was His strength. And as long as he was trusting in Jesus, he was walking on water. As long as you're trusting in Jesus, you can walk on water. I'm not saying go try to walk on a lake. What I'm saying is whatever God is calling you to do, the miracles that He wants to do in your life, you can do it if you just step out. And you're trusting in Him. The only time Peter got in trouble is when he started looking at the wind and the waves around him. Then he began to sink because then he didn't trust anymore. Be strong and courageous. Be daring like Peter and step out. I don't know what that thing is that God's calling you to. But here in this morning, commanding you over three times in this passage and then through my voice to be daring, to be strong and courageous. Well, secondly, you need to lead these people. You need to be ahead is the A in daddy. Not only do you need to be daring, you need to be ahead. God calls you in this passage to lead. Lead these people. Look at the second part of verse 6. He says, be strong and courageous. Why? Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Lead these people. You know, if you are a dad this morning, if you're a husband this morning, God has called you and He calls me. I'm a husband. He's called you to lead your family, to lead and set the pace for your family. That is God's definition. That's His design of what a husband is to do in the home, is he's to lead and to set the pace. And we're accountable to it, man. If you're a husband, if you've got a family, you know, we're the ones accountable for our family. You know, did you ever notice in the Garden of Eden when they had sinned and Eve had been tempted by the serpent to sin against God, and she did, and then she gave some to her husband, and then he did. You know, she was the first one to take it. Just kidding. Nothing against you, women. But no, what I'm saying is, did you notice who God called into account? Did you notice that when God came up, that He called the man? He called the man to give an account. Have you eaten? He called the man, the Scripture says, and said, have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to eat from? And of course, he starts blaming it on his wife. Well, she took the fruit and she... But he was called to account, wasn't he? A little bit later, she was held accountable too. But he was held accountable. That's who God went to. Men, husbands, we're held accountable. We're to lead and set the pace. How's your home doing? How is the home? Don't blame it on your wife. How is it? How am I doing? How are you doing? That's our role, our calling. Ephesians, in Ephesians 5:23... God gives us roles in marriage. He says, listen to Ephesians 5:23. God tells us this in His Word. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. And then He gives us each things to do, and He gives us roles. And soon after that, He says that in the same way that Christ has loved the church, husbands, that's how you're to love your wife. What did He do? He gave His life for the church. He loved the church so much that He went to the cross and He died to make the church holy. God gives every husband that call to be willing to die for your spouse, to help her, to make her holy, to love her in that way. That's God's design, and that's His role, the function of the husband in marriage. And then in 1 Corinthians 11:3, God tells us this. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. What's God saying there? God's saying that we have roles, we have functions. Now in being, we are one and the same. We are equal in being. But there are different functions and roles. And husbands, you and I, we are to lead and set the pace in our families. It's God's design. Well, if you're not a husband this morning, if you're someone who's filled in that blank, the command is still there for you. Be ahead. Lead these people. Lead who? You have people that you influence all around you. There are people on a day-to-day basis. You may say, I'm not a leader. I don't lead anybody. What are you talking about? Look around you. There are people watching you. There are little eyes that watch you, and you're an example, and you're leading. Maybe you teach Sunday school. Maybe you have a job, and you lead certain people. Maybe you've led some things at school. But if you look around, you'll see that you influence certain people, and that is what leadership is. It's influence. You influence. You have an influence over certain people. And so, be ahead. Lead those people. Well, what's he saying here? What's the command? Here it's, lead them to what? Lead them to the inheritance that God has promised them. Well, you know, that's your job, husband. lead your wife and lead your children to the inheritance that God has for them. In other words, lead them to God's best. God has an incredible plan for your wife, for your spouse, for your children. He has an incredible plan for every single life. And whoever you lead, husband or not, whoever you influence, lead them to that inheritance. Help them to discover God's best for them. Help them to discover what God's calling them to do. Help them to see how God's gifted them and equipped them and what He's designed them to do and what they're here on the earth to do and how they're supposed to be functioning. Have you ever noticed that Proverbs 22:6 tells us, parents, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, one thing that that passage means is that every child has a particular bent, a way that they should go. This child has a way that God has wired them and equipped them, and He's given them passions and gifts and abilities and talents. And I, as a father, shouldn't just think about what I love and what I want to do and see if I can make this child be what I always wanted to be or whatever. No, no. Train up a child in the way he should go, in the way the child should go. There's a way that God has designed for every human being. What's my job as a parent? What's your job as a leader, as an influencer over whoever you're over? To help them discover how God's gifted them and the way that they're supposed to go, and to enhance that and to lead them into God's best, to help them to experience and to have God's best, the inheritance that God desires for them. That's where you lead them to. Not a selfish leadership, not what I want them to do, not my agenda and see if I can make them obey my agenda. Where God wants them to go. That's what a true leader does. And you know, every step of the way, I'm told, and I keep hearing it, that I need to enjoy it. You need to enjoy leading these people. You need to enjoy leading these children. Or whoever you're leading at this time, whoever you have influence over, this is only for a time. He's entrusted each of us with the role we have right now. For a time. There's a time limit on it. And we need to enjoy every moment of it. A sweet black lady that I used to minister to, I mentioned her name before. You may have heard it, Gertha Whiting. I remember I used to visit with her on Friday afternoons, and she would tell me, enjoy what you do. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, enjoy it. Make memories. And you know, I believe that's God's plan. We need to make memories in our families. That's why we went to Big Kahuna's this past summer. That's why sometimes you splurge and you do something and you fork out the money, because the memories are worth more than the cost, the monetary cost. Making memories. I love how James Dobson put it, that these parenting years, that there's a time on it. He says this, when these parenting years have passed, something precious will have flickered and gone out of my life. Thus, I am resolved to enjoy every day that remains in this fathering era. Those are wise words. I can't believe I was looking at my son, 12 years old, sleeping this morning, and I just couldn't believe how big he was. Seems like I was just holding him up in the air, spinning around. Don't think I can lift him now. The time is precious. Lead these people. So not only be daring, be ahead, but next, be diligent to obey. Be diligent to obey. We see in verse 7, we're to be careful. We're to be careful to obey. In verse 7, he says this, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Be diligent to obey. Be careful to obey. Whatever God tells you in regard to fathering or to anything else, whatever your role, whatever God tells you, obey it. Obey it immediately. Obey it fully, 100%. Be careful to obey. Don't go to the right or to the left. We need to obey. We need to over-obey, if you can do that. This hit me not too long ago. I was reading in 2 Kings, and the man of God was telling somebody with him that was a leader, and he was telling this person, he said, take that stick and hit the ground with that stick. Man of God, the prophet of God said this, and then the man hit the ground 3 times. And then the man of God said, oh, why did you just hit the ground 3 times? Now, that's as much as you'll destroy. There was an army they were up against. And the man of God said, now that's as much as you'll destroy the army, 3 times worth. He said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. But do you see the picture there? Over-obey. If God tells you something, just jump at it. Run at it. Do more than you need to. If God says strike the ground, hit it 20 times. We'd be wise to live like that. We would see God do miraculous things among us, around us. You'd see incredible things in your life. I would too if I'd obey more like that. Hear the things that God is telling you about fathering. I read something called the Ten Commandments of Fathering, and just a couple of them stood out to me that I wanted to share with you. One was, love their mother. That's one of the greatest things a father can do, is to love their mother. A second thing was, listen. Listen to your children. Spend time not just hearing them on the run, but focusing, looking them in the eye and hearing what they have to say, understanding their heart. How are we going to understand? How are we going to know what their bent is? How God made them, the way they're supposed to go, unless we listen to them? And you know, I'm finding and I'm learning more and more that the more and more my children know I'm willing to listen, the more and more I'll hear. I'm still not good at it, and I'm still working at it. But the more they open up, the more I listen. We need to be good listeners. Well, next, be dispensing His Word. Be dispensing God's Word. That's the next D. So not only do you need to be daring, be ahead, be diligent to obey is your first D. You need to be dispensing is the second D. Be dispensing God's Word. Did you notice? He said, keep His Word in your mouth. He said, do not let this book of the law, verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. But He said, do not let it depart from your mouth. You know, God's Word is supposed to be in your mouth all the time. Just, we're supposed to be ready to speak His Word. He says here, keep His Word in your mouth. Well, how do you do that? Well, you saturate yourself in His Word. You stay in His Word. The more time you spend in it, the more time you spend listening to the Word, maybe on an MP3 player, maybe on CDs or tapes, if you still use tapes, you're driving in the car, however you want to do it, maybe just reading. Saturate yourself in the Word of God, and it will be in your mouth. You'll be ready. Well, as a father, what can I do? How can the Word be in my mouth? Well, I can lead a family devotional. We like to do this in our home. I like to have a family devotional and just pick out any type of devotional and just bring the family together. Share that devotional. Share from God's Word. Let it come out of your mouth, and then let each family member pray. Ask the needs of each family member and listen and pray, and then be praying for each other through the week. That's what we do here in the church. We need to certainly be doing that at home. If you have a spouse, you need to be praying together. We need to, the Word of God's on your mouth. Pray, read Scripture together, read a devotional together. The Word's on your mouth. And the greatest task is what I saw Lucinda do just a few weeks ago right here. The greatest task for every one of us parents is to have the Word in our mouth in such a way that we safely deliver the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to each child that we have. So they have an opportunity to respond. That's the greatest privilege that every parent has, is to lead their own child to Christ. That's why I was so thrilled that Lucinda got to talk to Abby and pray with Abby, and not me, that she had that privilege. Well, finally, we need to be yearning. Be yearning. That's the why. Meditate on it day and night. In the second part of verse 8, we see that. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Meditate on it. What's your special time every day? Do you spend time meditating on God's Word? When's your special time? Does something come to mind? Is there a special time? Are there a few times? This is spiritual food. We need 3 meals a day physically. Probably need that many spiritually. When are your special times? You know, Jesus, the Bible says, He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You need to take those times and meditate on God's Word. And you know what? Why? So that you may be careful to do, so that we can do God's will. And you know, there's an awesome ending result to that. That you may be successful and prosperous wherever you go. Then you will be prosperous. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And this meditating on it day and night in verse 8, so that you'll be careful to do everything written, and then you will be prosperous and successful. To be a prosperous and successful dad, or whatever role you choose to put in there, we need to do these things. Let's pray about it. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for these commands, Lord. I ask that You'd help each of us, Lord. Help us to be daring, strong and courageous. Help us to be ahead and lead all those around us, Lord. Help us to be diligent to obey, over-obey You, Lord. Help us to be dispensing Your Word. May we always have it in our mouths, Lord. May help us to spend a lot of time in Your Word, that we're saturated, that we may meditate on Your Word. Help us to be yearning. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's a decision that you need to make this morning, maybe you've been away from the Lord. Maybe that's the call that you hear, is come back. That He's desiring that you come back to Him. Well, have that faith, have that courage that Peter had when he stepped out of the boat, and step out and walk down the aisle. Let us know. We'll rejoice with your decision. Maybe your decision is to come to Him, to give your heart to Jesus. I'll be down at the front. Come and share that. And let us know about that. We'll pray with you. And maybe this is your church home and you've just realized that and you're supposed to be here. And you hear God drawing. You feel Him calling you. You feel your heart rate going up a little bit because you feel like He may be calling you to walk this aisle and say, this is my church home. I'm supposed to be here. Well, you make that decision and join this church. Whatever decision you need to make, make that decision as Chris leads us.